Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Our reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. During this time, as you've already heard, we're looking at this letter to the church at Colossae. It's full of amazing stuff that teaches us, but essentially it's talking about who Jesus really is. Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So our thinking this morning will be about the subject of reconciliation. But before we go there, I do have just, I think, a little something to share, if I can find it. Years ago, this is from my files. Years ago, I was a big city boy preaching in a small country town. I wanted to learn everything country so that I could fit in. As I was searching for Widow Jones' farm, I got lost on the back roads. I relate to that, actually. I saw a farmer walking into his barn, so I stopped for directions, which is a very strange thing for a man to do. He was just beginning to milk his cow, but took time out to tell me how to get to the Jones farm. By the way, I asked, do you know what time it is? He leaned into the udder of the cow and said, 12:30. I started to leave, but I just had to know. I told him, hey, I've just moved from the city and I really want to know the ways of the country. How could you tell what time it was? Sit right here on the stool, son. I did. Now grab hold of that udder. I did. Before this, my closest experience to this was grabbing a milk carton. Now lean into the cow, lift up the udder. I did. Lean over and look right over there on that wall. See, that's a clock. When the little hand is on top. That's got absolutely nothing to do with the message this morning. I want to read to you an allegory this morning. There was an invisible man. Though no one could see this man, they could see his shadow. Did we have those, Joe, at all those slides? Still finding? We don't? We do? Thank you. Though no one could see this man, they could see his shadow. Over the years, people tried to learn about the man by observing his shadow. They recorded their findings, carefully documenting every detail they saw in the shadow. But they ran into some problems. For one thing, the shadow didn't always look the same to everyone. It would acquire the color and texture of whatever it happened to be resting on. And it seemed to change shape depending on the time of day and the angle from which people observed it. Some saw the shadow as extraordinarily tall and skinny, while others saw it as short and squat. Furthermore, people couldn't always tell what the man behind the shadow was doing. Wherever the shadow went, things seemed to happen, strange and mysterious things, horrible and wonderful things. But because the observers could not determine the man's actions from the shadow, they tended to assume that he had caused all of these things. Through it all, the observers documented the shadow just as each of them saw it, and they documented the things that happened when the shadow was nearby. Though their descriptions sometimes differed, they all accurately described what they had seen in the shadow. Then one day, the man became visible. He appeared to the people, walked their streets in full sight. Now they could see who he really was. Much of what they had seen in the shadow was true of the man, yet, understandably, much was also different. Some of his observers rejoiced to see the man clearly. With their new knowledge about the man, they went back through their documentation, and they finally understood what he had been doing all along. Furthermore, they documented the man himself, so that those who had not seen him in person could know what he was really like. But others had made a critical mistake. They forgot that they were looking at a shadow. They came to believe that the shadow itself was the full reflection of the man. And so when the man appeared, they rejected him. "This man looks nothing like our shadow," they said. "After all, we can still see the shadow right there on the ground." They could not understand that the shadow merely pointed to the man. Much time has passed since the man appeared. Today, he is not visible in the way he once was, but his observers left us with two distinct records. The first describes his shadow, and the second describes the man himself. Both records provide accurate descriptions, but they must be properly understood. Some interpreters of these records still cling to the shadow, and thus they reject the man. Others accept the man, but only in as much as he looks like his shadow. They are happy with what he became, with that he became visible, but they still believe that the shadow was a better representation of him. So they reinterpret the man to make him match his shadow. But the shadow has only ever pointed to the man. The man himself is the only perfect revelation. And we must interpret the shadow in this light. That's a story, as you know, of the good news of the gospel in the person of Jesus. And that's why we're gathered here today. And that's why we talk the way we do. It's why we sing the songs we do. It's why we are gathered together. Something has happened to us to cause us to come and gather this way. It's all about reconciliation. Being reconciled to this God who we've been alienated from. So that's our theme for today. In reconciliation, enemies become friends when they're friends of Jesus. It's not much more complicated than that. We're now his friends. Once we're his enemies, now we're his friends. It simply means this: to totally, thoroughly, and completely change one's state and standing from enmity to friendship. Enmity is where we get the word enemy from. So we've become friends instead of enemies. As I was thinking about this message this past week, things got changed for me at the last minute, so this is a brand new, fresh message. You should have heard the other one. It was brilliant. But this is it this morning. In St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin stands what is known as the Door of Reconciliation. Back in 1492, this door was all that separated two feuding Irish families. Now, there's a message within this for those with ears to hear. As the butlers of Ormond, sought sanctuary, Horn, the Fitzgeralds of Kildare, realizing that the fighting had been getting out of control, Gerald Fitzgerald, it could get a bit complicated, couldn't it? Gerald Fitzgerald pleaded with Black James Butler to accept a truce. But suspecting treachery, Black James refused to open the door. In response, Gerald proceeded to hack a hole in the door and then thrust his arm through as a pledge of his goodwill. It was a daring gesture, as Gerald risked his arm being hacked off. Instead, Butler took his hand and peace was restored. The door was opened and the feuding families were reconciled. And from that incident comes the expression, to chance your arm. These two families went from enmity to friendship, enemies to friends. Their relationship was changed and transformed. Throughout the world, throughout history, these two things have been going on. And really, this is the essence of the Christian gospel. It's from being enemies of God to becoming friends of God. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what the cross is about. That's what we remember as we take bread and wine. It's about becoming friends of God. Reconciliation. Where it all started, and I want to remind us of this again, I don't want us to miss this. I really don't. The very first book of the Bible, records show us a picture of perfect harmony. Everything is in agreement. Everything in all creation is in agreement. Heaven and earth, God and man and woman, human beings and animals, all working together in joyful cooperation. It's called Eden. Excuse me. In chapter 3 of that book, everything changes. Sin came into the world. It's tragic what resulted. Let me remind you. We read of division, dissension, death, separation. The first humans are separated from God. That is horrendous. And when you and I look around us, that's what's... the world is separated from God. Doesn't know God, doesn't care about God. And what are we all doing in our world? Fighting, feuding, killing each other, you name it. Chapter 4 of Genesis, we read about them being separated from each other. Not only separated from God, but suddenly separated from each other. And you know what it was over? Our style of worship. There is a message in there for us. Hello? The worship wars started back there. And they're still going on, where people choose to worship in a certain way and somebody chooses to worship in a different way, and it causes enmity. And there needs to be reconciliation. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that? They were separated from each other. And then it got worse and worse. Evil all of the time. So much that in chapter 6, God was grieved that he had made man. That's what it says. Chapter 11, we read about the separation of races and nations. Racial separation. Hello. Is that still around today? Oh. Is it still around in the Christian church? Oh, yes, it is. The huge need, and could be put over the book of Revelation, the book of Genesis, and is this need for reconciliation. It's a big word. So God's mission is our mission. And I want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning. As I read to you from Colossians 1, 19 and 20, I'll read it again. This is in the New International Version, and that should make some of us pleased. It's a good version. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. We could skip right over that and miss the fact that it is all things, not just people. It's all things. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's the cross again. Just a comment. Paul is writing to the Colossian church because they got off track, and Martin reminded us of that last week. They got off track about who Jesus was. They're kind of missing it. And it was a heresy that started to get, we call that getting off track, a heresy, believing the wrong things about what God has revealed to us. So this kind of thinking was what we call dualistic thinking. It's still around. It's a big word, maybe. But it talks about mind over matter, sacred over secular, good versus evil. It's dualistic in that thinking. But these people thought that wisdom was found within, and we just had to let that all that goodness come out. That should sound familiar. That there's essentially goodness in here, and we've just got to express it. We need to find the hidden spirituality within. In the broader sense, the Gnostics believed that matter was evil and spiritual enlightenment was good. And they missed it completely, that all the earth is the Lord's. All is good. When he created the earth, he said, it is good. It is good. But because sin came, it all got messed up. So reconciliation begins when he reconciled us to himself through Jesus. That's when it started. We were enemies and we're now made his friends. You heard me say that a few minutes ago. And it continues when we are his ambassadors and we take on a ministry of reconciliation. I want to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I better read that again, in case you missed it. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore his ambassadors, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. An ambassador, just changing things a little. An ambassador, generally speaking, an ambassador is a respected official acting as a representative of a nation. Sent to a foreign land, the ambassador's role is to reflect the official position of the sovereign body that gave him authority. We're ambassadors. So, our kingdom assignment is this. As an ambassador from another world, we're to carry out the responsibilities and duties of the government of that world. We're aliens. We're ambassadors of another world. What is our assignment? Glad you asked. It's to bring all people, all things, all creation. We have a responsibility, not just to people, but to our world that God has made. It's his world. All things. To bring all things back into a loving and peaceful relationship with their creator. That is our assignment. The ministry of reconciliation. And you thought it was just to come to church. No. Now we come to church so that we might gather together, praise God together, be charged up with encouragement for each other, by each other, that we might be those ambassadors in an alien place and bring this message of reconciliation. The people are alienated from God and they need to come back to him. What an awesome thing that is for us, isn't it? So we're commissioned and empowered as ambassadors, and we're not finished until this planet starts to look like the original. We won't be finished. We are in partnership with the Holy Spirit to bring that about. The consummation, of course, will come in the return of Jesus. But we're partners with him meantime to do this. As ambassadors, we are to recolonize earth with heaven. I borrowed that phrase, but I like it. We're to recolonize earth. It sounds sort of alien, doesn't it? Sounds like some kind of movie that you might have seen with extraterrestrials and so on. I don't want to go down that road because it could get messy. But we are to recolonize earth with heaven. We work in partnership with the Holy Spirit until all things in heaven and on earth are reconciled to God. That is a big assignment. Heaven and earth, God and man, men and women, human beings, animals, all creation, all working together in peaceful cooperation. Sounds like heaven. Just like the original. Do Jesus is the visible face of the invisible God. He was the invisible man and cast a shadow. His revelation has come. Things have got to change. We've got to change. We have to. So he came to destroy the works of the devil. We know that. The devil has held the whole world captive by his deceitful ways. One of these ways is to believe in Jesus, and this is what the message to Colossae was all about. One of these is to believe in Jesus, but not realize who he really is. I believe that that is the very thing that will change and is incredibly powerful in spiritual warfare. To recognize who Jesus really is and the authority we have as ambassadors of this other world. Things will start changing when we walk in that authority. If we're intimidated by political correctness, that's exactly what we are. We're intimidated. Are we to live like that as ambassadors? Can you imagine an ambassador? I think of the new one that arrived from America. Intimidated by the culture around him? Absolutely not. He's looking to enjoy working in that culture. Very different from the one he came from America. How about us? We're ambassadors of another world. How about us enjoying working in this alien culture to reconcile? Because it's the ministry of reconciliation that we have. So one of these ways is to believe in Jesus but not realize who he really is. Sila. Pause and consider that. So what does this reconciliation look like? The way we interact with each other has to change. Because how can we reconcile a world if we're not reconciled? The way we do church must reflect this ministry of reconciliation. Wherever I go, I've been in pastoral ministry for a few years and Christian leadership for one or two years now. And quite honestly, I'll just say this. This is a frustration statement. You ready? You okay with this if I just lean this out toward you today? I've been so frustrated that we read the Bible and we know and I've heard it preached and we say we are ministers of reconciliation and yet we hurt each other. We play no speaks with each other. We fight each other. What's going on here? We are ministers of reconciliation. I would like to suggest to you, if you're at war with somebody who's another Christ follower, that today you get on the phone and be reconciled to them. If you're at war with somebody in your family, get on the phone and be reconciled to them today. Do not leave it. How on earth can they be reconciled to God if it's not demonstrated in us who have this ministry of reconciliation? This church has been through war, and there are still people that are not speaking to others. Be reconciled. Well, I tried and they didn't. It's okay, you tried. The way we care for our planet must reflect this. Oh, that's a bit different for evangelical Christians to think about. We'll leave that for the liberals. No. It's biblical. It's right there. To reconcile not just people, but all things in heaven and on earth. All animals, all things, all creation. The planet. The way we do mission has to reflect this ministry of reconciliation. It affects everything that we do. The way we interact with our not yet a Christian neighbor. It's a ministry of reconciliation. There's too much war out there, folks. So often we say, well, there shall not be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes. I've used that excuse myself. He's left us here to take care of his planet, to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit so that this might be accomplished, reconciling all things to himself. We cannot be reconciled to God and not to each other. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, be reconciled to one another. So what about the person that you don't speak to? Let's be personal. You know who they are. Just as I mentioned that, the Holy Spirit mentioned that to you. What about the person in your family that doesn't speak to you? I know that could dial up pain. I know it. I know it. But aren't we ministers of reconciliation? We're to be different people. I want to conclude this morning in my little piece here and reading to you from the scriptures. That's a good thing to do. This is from Romans 8, one of my favorite passages of all time. Reading it to you in the Message. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. And in another translation, it says the whole world groans. Groans. There's a groaning going on in creation. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. I just want to pause for just a second. I can't help myself here. There's a pregnant creation, an expectant creation, that the reconciliation will come, that the time of shalom will come, that Jubilee will be realized. It will come. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pains. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us, any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We're enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy that all things will be reconciled. Are you excited about that just a teeny little bit? All us introverted people here? Just a little bit? Just that much? That much? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation to us that the shadow has become the man that we can see, and by the Spirit fully know as he is known. We know that our bodies have its limitations, our minds have its limitations. But Lord, within us dwells all the fullness of God by the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing that is. And Lord, as we have been commissioned with this incredible assignment to be partners with you in reconciling all things to God, Lord, I pray that we will go away from this place this morning supercharged with that understanding, with a greater revelation and a greater appreciation of who we are because of what Jesus has done for us and in us. That the bread and the wine will be fully realized in us. That Jesus will be making his appeal to a world around about us to be reconciled to God through us. And so I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I invite you to sing a song as we conclude. It's a simple old hymn, but a great old hymn. There is a green hill far away. Anybody remember that one? Even if you don't remember it, I think you'll appreciate it. So we're going to sing that as our closing hymn today. Thank you to all of us who took part in the service today, and especially to Joe, who had a lot of work to do up the back there, and for Bob and Merle, who came so early and made it warm for us to be here today. Thank you. The Lord bless you all as you go today. May you go with the knowledge and understanding that you are ministers of reconciliation. Amen.